When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
You know, something I talk about with my students all the time is that every new comics page you draw presents you with a million choices. What do I mean? Is it going to be a big panel? Is it going to be a small panel? Are you going to be close to the character? Are you going to be far away from the character? How can you get the character to say, let's go that way, as only that character could say it? In other words, how do you describe their voice in a way that reveals something about their personality? Are you starting in the middle? Are you starting at the end? Are you starting at the beginning? Where are you starting on this thing? What kind of shape, size, line, or color are you going to use for the word balloon to communicate this kind of voice? What kind of color are you going to choose to evoke the kind of mood that you want for the scene? You can break your brain trying to take on all these choices at once. And so I use this as an opportunity to point out the value of chunking the creative process, right? I'm also using this as an opportunity to point out that you can be hyper-specific in determining what you're actually going to teach in any given lesson, right? You, as a working artist, have the context and the experience, the experiential knowledge to understand that this is all interconnected. Wait a minute, you're gonna do like just like an hour workshop on word balloon design? Because you can tie that into 100 other things. You could talk about how word balloon design is related to sound effect design, which is related to panel design, which is related to the way you draw the lines on the characters and the way lines communicate emotion. You can lose yourself in finding all of these connections. And sometimes focusing on a hyper-specific individual thing like, say, sequencing, right? The order that the panels of the story exist in can sound kind of reductive and exclusionary, right? Like, well, you're throwing out everything else about comics, I guess, because you're only focusing on sequencing today. Well, yes and no. Because as I talked about in the lesson plan example, or the lesson plan sort of entry in this Art Sound Off series, you can start out specific, but then be ready for, like, you announce a plan knowing that the plan will not survive contact with the ground. This is my goal, this is my agenda, this is my hope of what we're going to cover, but I'm ready to respond to what the room needs in the moment, right? I struggled with this a lot when I was first starting out as a teaching artist. I thought for sure that there had to be a procedural order to knowledge and skill acquisition in order to become a proper comic book artist. Oh, you have to learn the basics. And I would say, you gotta learn the ABCs of comics, which is space equals time, detail equals time. The bigger the moment, the more emphatic the moment, the smaller the moment, the less emphatic the moment. And once again, my quote-unquote Jedi Master teaching specialist who taught me so much about teaching had the presence of mind to say, is that what first attracted you to making comics? And I said, no, it's the characters. I like drawing characters and like thinking about characters. And she said, very gently, I wonder what would happen if you maybe did a lesson plan based on that. Start there. And the truth is what she was pointing me to, well, let me put it this way. The truth that I have inferred, assembled, compiled, come to understand from my own perspective based on that experience and that moment with her is that I don't know what everybody's entry point is going to be. Everybody's going to have a slightly different entry point to falling in love with the medium of comics. Replace the word comics with whatever art form you're teaching. There's something that brings them to it, and it's not necessarily the same thing that brought you to it, right? And as a teaching artist, we should be meeting them where they are. So, this hyper-specificity of choosing a very narrowly defined sort of agenda, maybe it's not what brought some of the students there, but you might wind up reaching that one student where this is the thing that makes the art soar for them, right? And what's more is that even though I'm being hyper-specific about what the lesson's goals or outcomes or agendas are, that's not to preclude me tying it into other disciplines or other aspects of the discipline. So, in other words, here's an example. I do a workshop called Sequences and Consequences, where the whole goal of it is just to explore how telling a series of images in sequence and choosing different kinds of ways to show the moment changes the way the story is felt by the reader. What do I mean? I give the students a 9 prompts of a sequence of events that happen in the story, and I try to be fairly abstract and I try not to give them too much information, right? So moment one, a person walks down an alley. Panel two, they look at their watch. Panel three, something is behind them. Panel four, they, run through the alley looking for a place to hide. Panel five, there's trash strewn about that makes it hard for them to find a place to hide. And then it ends with their pursuer gets closer. And then I ask the students to draw all these moments as they see it in their heads on 9 index cards. And then once they finished, we rearrange the index cards to see if we can find an equally plausible sequence of events. And how does that change how the story feels? Now, the first sequence that I describe with somebody walking in an alley and a pursuer getting closer tends to suggest that this is a scary or tense or thrilling story, and they draw it that way. They draw a lot of mystery in it. Very few of them draw what the pursuer looks like, because I never describe what the pursuer is. But then when they rearrange it, they find out that, oh, when I rearrange it this way, it changes it from a thrilling story to a funny story. Now, I'm not teaching them character design. I'm not teaching them character voice. I'm not teaching them even, much about telling, writing a story from scratch. I'm giving them prompts of a pre-existing story, and now all we're focusing on is moment choice. Are we close? Are we far away? We're looking up at the thing. We're looking down at the thing. And then playing with this idea of rearranging a sequence, because that is something that we often forget to do. It sounds incredibly simple, but the learning that happens there is really profound. So the whole point of this little essay is that when you're thinking about unboxing your craft and what you do, even taking something as super simple as sequence. What's the role of sequence in comic storytelling? What happens if you resequence? What happens then? That can be a very rich hour of programming. So I don't think you can get too narrow in your focus, because your job as the teaching artist is to be aware of the entire landscape, listen to the students when they make realizations, observations, casual wonderings that point in the direction of this undiscovered country that you hold the map to. That's where you get to guide them to that. But for their purposes, they're only focused on this one thing right then and there. I hope this was useful. If anybody has any questions about it, you can follow up with me. But this is the time where I say this is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, where me and my buddy Rob Stenzinger challenge ourselves, and by extension everybody else, to check in throughout the month of November with in some kind of audio journaling about your art. You don't even have to share it. You can just record it just for the sheer practice of it. But if you do share it, it'd be nice if you use the Art Sound Off hashtag so Rob and me and everybody else who's playing along can find out who else is playing along with this, yearly art challenge every November. All right, I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
I love running at this time of the day.
Yeah, me too. Makes me feel close to nature.
The best part is that it's wonderful exercise.
It's the best. Of course, one should check with a doctor before doing any heavy exercise.
Right, and then start off just a little each day.
I sure wish we could tell that to everybody.
I think we just did.
We did?
Say for yourself.
Remember, be good to your body, and it'll be good to you.
Well said, He-Man. Now, I'll race you to the tree.
Okay.